The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com, live out here at beautiful Radrick Farms. An awesome day for golf. You know me, I'm not a golfer, but I could do this. I tell you this all the time. I mean, that's my thing. I like looking at the course, just being out. I like to fancy myself as a grass guy, as a landscape guy.
Say it that way. It's a better way to say it.
As a landscape guy. And so I really, really appreciate just the picturesque scene. Ira appreciates the chance to play golf at the U of M Club of Greater Detroit's annual golf outing. That's why we're out here at Radrick today, right?
Yeah, but you're not wrong that the scenery, like, you look up, I don't even know how old this is over here, but you're just going up the hill. It looks very daunting. Actually, no, this is coming down the hill. Take that back, because I think the tee box is up there. Much better to go down the hill than up the hill, needless to say. Beautiful sights here. But that is the thing that I love about walking around a golf course. Now, there are some that are, you know, majestic, right? When I went, you go down to Augusta, right? Like, mm-hmm. They're famous. So that's an extreme example. But, like, I could take you down there, and you might not, as much as you would still, you'd be interested in seeing the golf, you would just want to see all the beauty of the course, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that Augusta is the extreme example, and there's a lot of history to it too. But this place has a lot of really nice scenery. When we went up north and we played the Wolverine up at Grand Traverse Resort, beautiful set of golf courses up there, right? Beautiful scenery when you're playing on a golf course. And the thing that I love about this course, which is a U of M property, mm-hmm. I don't love that Pete Dye designed it, because Pete Dye is a little crazy in the designs, and so he did some tricks out there, which actually makes it for a fun challenge on the golf course. But what I love about Radrick Farms is that you, like, kind of where we are right now by the clubhouse, you just spin in 360 and all you see is golf course, clubhouse, trees, right? There's, you know that the road, the Geddes is down there somewhere, right? You know, but you don't ever feel that really when you're here. Mm-hmm. You just feel like you're out in the environment, out in nature. And that is one of the fun things about golf is, you know, yes, I like getting my swings in. I like, you know, playing well and all that, but just, some people like to sit out. My wife loves to sit out on a beach. It gets boring for me. I can only handle so much time on the beach or at the pool, right? It's beautiful at the beach with the palm trees and everything. It's beautiful. I get it. But I just like maybe I like to take a little bit more of a moving trip through the environment.
Hey,
right?
I like both. I like them both. There's still a phrase from my kid. Noah, I like both.
Sitting still, I get antsy.
I hear you.
It's probably why I stand up when we do these events all the time. I just can't sit down.
Well, hey, I wasn't sitting still during my. It was a. Staycation. It was time off of work, but it was a lot of work. But it was still a chance to relax the brain from regular work. But look, you talking about staying still? The sports world didn't stay still while I was out. A lot happened while I was out.
Yeah, there were a ton of things. So I thought of you a bunch. Needless to say, like, I thought of you because in early July, what did Chris Illich say?
Yeah,
that he was pleased or something like that.
Oh my god, it drove me nuts.
And you were beside yourself in that window of time, because that came out right around the time that right before I think I went on my vacation, and then you go on your vacation, and where were we? I might even been on the golf course, and all of a sudden, like, my phone starts blowing up, and I'm like, oh my goodness, Sam must be going crazy right now. Like, I don't even know if he knows this yet, but I bet you he can feel the news that Alaville was fired. Oh, yeah, we talked a fair amount about it on the air. We had Cody on to talk about, you know, the potential of what you could do next, what, you know, some options are, which really, it's a wide open field, as much as that's not even the question really for you, right? It's just more of a, because we talked about the confidence level in the GM of the Lions right now, and mm-hmm. the confidence level in the GM of the Red Wings right now, and the confidence level in the GM of the Pistons right now. They're not the same. Now, they have to go out there and prove it over the next year or two, but it's not the same as what the confidence level was in the Tigers GM as this season progressed.
No doubt.
They had to make a move.
Yeah, look. you feel like whoever comes next is going to take some time for them to jolt it in the right direction, right? There's so much to fix when it comes to their lineup. But you get to a point with a guy like Al Avila, who's been here for so long, that you need change for the sake of change. He never got one trade right. Not one. I mean, law of averages, you're on the job that long, one of them is going to work out right. You had to trade J.D. Martinez. You had to trade Justin Verlander, right? You had to move your biggest pieces. And none of them resulted in a return of even a serviceable player. Like, are any of those guys still with the team? I mean, the Justin Wilson, Alex Avila trade, it got you Jamer Candelario, but he's not like a guy. He was touted as maybe a piece of the future. None of those guys have worked out. I will credit him with stocking the farm system with some young talent that seems like they could be core building blocks or pieces of the future. But that's not enough. Like, you, part of a GM's job is to trade. It's not just draft, right? Because eventually you're not going to be drafted high anymore, right? Because some of those picks is like, how hard is it to pick number one or number two, right? How hard is it? But you got to hit on some of these trades. He hit on not a single trade. That is a problem. That should cost you your job. That's why Tigers fans are like, what the hell is Chris? Chris, and we already had our doubts about how into it is he compared to his dad. Because dad was like, I don't care how much money I have to spend. I am going to buy a winner. My team is going to be in the World Series, period. And as a fan, you could appreciate that because you felt like ownership was mirroring the passion of the fans. With Chris Illich, it was more like, oh, you mean I make money if I win or if I lose? Are you kidding me? So wait, and I could drastically cut expenses and it doesn't matter? It doesn't matter if people show up at the games and I still get paid? That's what it felt like, especially when he comes out and says, oh, I'm totally pleased with how Al Avila is doing. Like, what world are you living on?
That one was really – and that's why we talked about it, you know, obviously last week. But that phrasing in particular – I know
that's not an exact quote, but –
But that's more or less what he said.
Yeah.
And that phrasing really ticked off a lot of people because there are ways to say, I think he's the right guy, but – right? You can't just say we're pleased, right? Especially because last year, the first couple months, it was a slow start, but you expected the slow start, and then they started playing better, right? So going into this year, we actually had expectations, not to compete to, you know, for the World Series or anything, but to, and Miz and I were talking about this last week, and I don't bring this to rub it in, but Chris Illich has to look at the standings and has to go, why can't we be the Orioles?
Yeah, aren't they 30 games back or under 500?
The Orioles are now, I think they're half a game back out of the wild card, but the Orioles are competing for a wild card, Sam. The Orioles and the Tigers started this year, the Orioles should have been worse, right, based on what a lot of recent history and whatnot. But one team makes smarter moves, has made better moves. They've made or had better drafts, better trades, all those things. So at some point in time, Chris Illich has to look at that team or Tampa, who's, you know, a smaller market team, and look and see some of these other franchises and go
43-73, 30 games under 500.
They were the second team to reach 70 losses this year after Oakland. Like, at some point he had to look at those teams and go, yeah, dude, I'm not pleased because they're competing.
Yeah, man, because listen, the expectations were this is a corner turning year. They finished last season relatively strong. Yeah. They went out in the offseason. They spent some money on Javi Baez, right?
This year's 500 or better.
This year's 500.
Yeah. Or wild card.
What Orioles are doing.
Right.
Wild card contention, right? That's what the expectation. And you're 30 games under 500?
What are we doing?
That will not
what
do.
What are we doing?
That's what. Exactly. What are we doing?
Yeah, because when you look at the, obviously, I know the Tigers are 18 and a half. I'm sure they're 17 games worse than the Orioles.
It's like that. And that's ridiculous.
They're 16 and a half games worse than the Twins.
And you
they're
can't.
16 and a half games with the White Sox. They shouldn't be this far behind these teams.
Yeah. And so if you wanted to show the fans any sort of commitment, any semblance of commitment to winning, you couldn't keep Al Avila. And I mean, I started to question whether that was really. Whether what the fans thought, felt, or showed with purchasing tickets, whether that mattered to Chris Illich. Because like we've had this discussion before. What level of accountability does ownership have in the day and age of gargantuan TV contracts? Used to be you could just not go to games, and the ownership would have to listen.
Yeah, because tickets, parking, beer, hot dogs, all that added up to a lot of money. It still does.
It still does.
But when there's a lot more TV revenue coming
in. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so how can you really make them feel it, right? I don't know whether that really whether that piece of it really resonates with him, but you start to feel some hope that it does based on him letting Al Avila go.
Yeah, we had a fairly celebratory day, and we don't necessarily celebrate people losing their jobs, but Avila had been with the organization for 20 years, 7-plus in this job.
He's fine.
Six losing seasons.
He's fine.
Yeah, he's totally fine. Six losing seasons. Well, this will be the sixth consecutive losing season. Yeah, going every much either holding serve or going in the wrong direction while people around you or teams around you are going in the right direction when you can look and say that's the model you want to follow.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, that's the thing, and that's the part. And then you look around just within the city, right? They're trending, they're trending, they're trending, they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be all right. He'll be all right for sure. As 22 years with the franchise, I'm sure he has a great pension coming. He was getting paid a pretty penny as well. He'll be fine. And if nothing, he'll land on his feet somewhere else in baseball, if not with the Tigers. So may not be a GM again. But financially, you know, he should be okay. So, like you, I don't wish for anyone to have financial ruin, or most people to have financial ruin, but he needed to be out of this job.
Right. I'm guessing that they will find a job for him somewhere. As you said, in baseball, there's some assistant to an scout somewhere, you know. Now, I don't know if you'd really want him assisting your scout at this stage.
Well, I mean. Yeah, I hear you. I don't know what his job is.
What's your trade record recently, Mr. Avila? what's your drafting record recently? Like, that's the part about getting another job is maybe you – I mean, everyone's got a – you know, has, you know, friends in the business to find a landing spot, but
– Yeah, how did you not get one trade? Like, all the trades that he made, how do you not
this
get
is the way
one
it was framed.
Them?
This is the way it was framed, and I'm sure you saw this. And the J.D. Martinez one is bad because he came here, resurrected his career, became a really good player, obviously, and they should have gotten more for him and better results, you know, better for him. But the other guy, right, in particular, you're talking about Verlander. I mean, you traded one of your all-time players, and you've got to get something that people remember out of it and not in a bad way. When, yeah, I mean, I remember going back and you – when the Orioles trade Eddie Murray, they don't really get a whole lot for him. But at some point, they did get, like, Pete Harnish and Curt Schilling in a trade, and they turned into something else. The guys were good elsewhere. If you're going to trade cornerstone players, you better get something in return, and the odds are that you're not. Almost never do you actually get a cornerstone in return, which is why they talked about I was reading an article about Miguel Cabrera is the reason why the Nats shouldn't have traded Juan Soto. Because look at what the return was for Florida, for the Marlins, for Miggy. And that's the example. And my guess is that there are a lot of examples like this. So maybe Al Avila isn't alone, but you can't strike out on all of them. There's got to be one guy. You have to have one good player, right? So,
yeah. So, yeah, happy dance.
You're doing
happy dance. And yeah. And we'll give Chris Illich a little bit of a break now. Like, okay, maybe he isn't just collecting a check.
Well, this is the question that we posed to Cody, right? You know, where do you go? And the answer is you don't necessarily really know. But the one thing you do know is if he keeps it internal, which we don't think he will, but if he does keep it internal, then all this positive momentum or positive mojo that he got from this decision he got last week, it's gone, right?
Hey, you know what was the – I mean – they were talking about the Verlander trade. He said, I didn't make that trade. The GM, Al Avila, made that trade.
Yeah, we had a little fun with that.
Like, oh.
And you didn't sign off on that. You just let him trade your, like, the best pitcher you've ever had
in
your lifetime?
Right. But, hey, like I said, hey, you fired him. That gives you a little leeway with me, leeway that I didn't think I was ever going to be able to give him because he was just saying, hey, guess what? Yeah, we're feeling pretty good about where we are now, Avila. Turns out not totally accurate.
Yeah, so that's where things stand right now. I'm trying to think the other big things that happened while you were out. I know you didn't see the full episode of Hard Knocks yet, so I can't ask you the most pressing question that I have for you, because there is a star, to me, a standout of Hard Knocks that you will absolutely love. But I know you had a chance to see Jamal Williams' speech.
I did.
And I know you had a chance to see Aiden singing and dancing.
I did.
So what did you think?
So, Aiden, I was like, man, okay. All right. You know, nice swim move, made the tackle look totally foolish. Getting in the backfield for a TFL, drew a holding call, right? So, you know, nice little intro to National Football League there for Aiden. So I was pretty pleased that Jamal Williams, the running back contingent for the Lions. You know, if DeAndre Swift can stay healthy, it's pretty damn good, right?
The potential's there.
Potential is really there. You got a banger, a bruiser, an emotional leader, and then you have a guy who is a terrific pass catcher out of the backfield, a guy who can make you miss in the phone booth. He did it in the game where he sort of makes a move in the backfield and then sprints to the end zone after making a guy miss in DeAndre Swift. So you're seeing a lot of the pieces. It's preseason. You don't get too carried away.
Right.
But, you know, you saw some promise there. You like what Jared Goff looked in his limited action, you know, getting out there and making some plays. So, and then, of course, Devin Funchess. It's hard to believe that he's only 28 years old. You feel like Devin Funchess is in his 30s. But, no, Devin's only 28. You know, he is looking to resurrect his career back home. In a position group that should be, so it doesn't really offer any pressure on him. He should just be able to go in there and play free and be a unique weapon, you know, a flex guy at the position that you can see in red zone situations like they did in that game could be a real weapon. So that was really pleasing to see as well.
This gets us back to the conversation we've already had. This is what I talked about with Al yesterday when I bumped into him. High schools are back. Colleges are back. Pros are back in practice, right? And then the preseason games are now underway. So we've had the full week slate of week one games that are now underway. And so, yeah, it's not football yet because it's 19 days for us. It's 12 days for the week zero games. There's a couple decent one of those as well. But we'll really get into but it's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know, the hair sticking up a little bit more and like just kind of. And I know we have a lot of work to do before we get to the beginning of the season. I know the players and the coaches have a lot of work to do before they get to the season. But as fans, this is always that window of time that we're just, you know, last-minute recharge and just really getting excited about what's around the corner.
Hey, man.
Excitement around your Lions, excitement around Michigan football. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, can they – you feel like the offense is going to take a step. How big a step, I don't know. But defensively – can you have some playmakers, a playmaker or two emerge? Aiden is certainly a huge candidate there. I think Aleem McNeil as an interior lineman is a possibility. Derek Barnes is a really intriguing guy for me because I think he has, you know, the speed. I think the physicality. I think for him, it was just a matter of really learning the position. Remember, he's a former defensive end at Purdue, but could really run. He's a 4-5 guy. And, you know, can he come into his own this year? And at the linebacker position, that's another guy that I'm really looking to. But, you know, we'll see. We got to get to a break. Before we do, want to let you guys know, listen, if you're in the market to renovate your kitchen, your bathroom, maybe you need new windows or doors. Maybe you need a new roof or new floors. That's where our friends at Chelsea Lumber can come in with three locations to serve you in Chelsea, Saline, and Bridgewater. We had to get our kitchen done. We went in to their showroom, gave them our budget. One of their design specialists, Jen, took us through the paces, understood our taste, and gave us an array of options. And then after we were so excited, she put together an awesome design. And then that excitement quickly turned to nervousness because we didn't have a contractor that could bring that design to life. She said, we can help you with that too. So we have a number of contractors that we stand behind, helped us select the right one, and still held our hand through the entire process, anything that we needed. That's the Chelsea Lumber difference, with three locations to serve you in Chelsea, Saline, and Bridgewater. You can also find them online at chelsealumber.com. Chelsea Lumber, where the home begins. We got to get to a break. Recruiting roundup on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.